The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 495. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Before I introduce my guests and start talking about the topic for this episode, I want to throw it out there that I'm five episodes away from number 500. And I'm looking forward to it. I am somewhat still shell-shocked that I have that many episodes. But I'm trying to work on something a little bit special for episode 500. And actually, if you are a listener, a fan of the show, I would encourage you to email me or touch base with me through social media if you'd like to participate and maybe talk about what the PVD Cast meant to you. I've also thrown it out to some of my fellow podcasters to tell me their thoughts on the PVD Cast turning 500, getting some well wishes and whatnot. And I'm working on a pretty interesting guest as well for episode 500. So again, all of that happening here real soon within the month. But in the meantime, let's talk about this episode. And it is, again, another duo from the C3 anthology. And of course, I'm talking about the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. They're working on getting their new anthology, which is called Hidden Histories, out into your hands. And they're doing it through a crowdfunder campaign. And joining me to talk about their entries, Ari Koester and Emily M. Cook. Now, Ari has a very interesting kind of scientific look at Ohio. In fact, her entry is entitled Once Ohio Was an Ocean, and it talks about how that at various different stages throughout the Earth's history, Ohio has been underwater and then not underwater and then underwater, then not underwater. And it's pretty interesting what Ari has found in regards to this phenomenon of constantly shifting from being underwater to being not underwater. And then we're going to talk about Emily. Emily's going to join us with her entry, The Prehistoric Native Peoples of Ohio. She did a lot of research on those individuals. So both Ari and Emily are excited to be here on the PVD Cast. So I'm going to get to their conversations here in just one quick moment, because I got to thank some sponsors. And I'm going to start off with, of course, the newest sponsor, Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashion and health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614 Online Sales. You can find her through all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc. Simply look for Courtney 614, that's spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y 614, or Courtney, same spelling, underscore 614, for fabulous deals, and let her know that you heard about her spot from right here on the PVD Cast. And now on to the OG sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics from every era, the golden, silver, bronze, and modern eras. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a great pool system. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. So, stop by the store or you could check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @ WG Comics. And again, I want to thank all my sponsors for their support throughout the years. It really means a lot to me. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Ari Koester and Emily M. Cook. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I'm joined by Ari Koester. Ari, how are you this evening?
Doing swell. And you, John?
I'm doing well. You know, it's a little warmer down here in Ohio. Are you in Ohio or are you elsewhere?
I'm in Michigan. Don't come for me, please.
I thought that I read that you were in Michigan, but I wasn't 100% sure.
I am in Michigan. I'm a C. There are a couple of us in C3 who secretly live in Michigan.
Okay. Well, we don't want to write those people out. We'll shh.
No, never. I fear for their lives if they're ratted out.
Yes, exactly. Well, I was going to say that it is a little warm here in Ohio, but Michigan's not that far, so I assume the weather is the same up there.
It's a nice start of fall weather. Not too warm, not too cold.
Well, you are the artist, the creator behind a entry for the C3 Hidden Histories anthology called Once Ohio Was an Ocean. Can you give a brief little summary of the project?
Yeah, so it's a brief two-page. It's not exactly a summary. It's more about, I think of it less of like a textbook entry and more like a museum diorama. It just kind of gives you a kind of like a visual overview of what Ohio would have looked like in the early to middle Devonian period, which is right before things really start to go onto land. So it's a really exciting period. And during this period, Ohio was completely underwater. It was a shallow sea.
See, I'm learning things every conversation I have with you fine folks with this anthology. I never knew that Ohio was underwater. I just never knew that.
It's been underwater a lot, actually.
Really?
Underwater and then on land and then underwater again and then on land again.
What was the cause? What was the catalyst for this constant shifting back and forth? Do you know?
Well, it really depends on like what time period you're looking on. But Ohio... The period I was writing about is Ohio was closer to the equator due to the drifting of the continents. So it was a lot warmer and a lot wetter. There's also, so plate tectonics is a lot of what causes climates to shift and things to go underwater versus over water. I think one of my favorite facts I learned when I was researching this is after the Devonian, we don't really have any idea of what lived in Ohio in prehistory because the glaciers scraped away all of the rock. So there is no fossil record for the entire period in which dinosaurs were on the earth. We don't know for sure what dinosaurs lived in Ohio.
Obviously, you've done a ton of research.
Too much research. Too much. I think... For every hour of drawing, there was at least 2 hours of research.
Wow. Man. Oh, man. You jumped into it.
Yeah, I was obsessive.
Can I ask, were you somewhat relieved when you were finished?
Yes. Deeply and utterly relieved. I'm like, thank God I never have to touch this again.
Well, why did you decide to do this topic?
Well, I'm an ecologist by trade. I got my degree in ecology and evolutionary biology, and I love paleontology. So I decided I would write about paleontology, and Columbus specifically has a very rich fossil record for the middle to early and middle Devonian. So I'm just like, great, I'll do the one with the most complete fossil record. Originally, I was going to do like a layer from a bunch of different eras in Ohio's history, but then I'm like, well, the entire Mesozoic is gone, so that's not very interesting.
Okay. You've already shared one of the coolest facts that you uncovered. Was there something that maybe was it kind of on the other side of things? Like it was not cool to kind of learn this? Does that make sense? Like, you know, the yin and the yang, so to speak, you found some cool facts and then maybe you didn't find, you found some facts that you wish you hadn't?
There wasn't anything. I thought that this really cool fossil fish called Dunkleosteus, it's big, it's got a huge head shield, it's got really sharp teeth, it hunted sharks, it was the apex predator of his time. I was very excited to get to draw Dunkleosteus. Yeah, they didn't evolve till the late Devonian, so I couldn't put them in my comic, and I was really disappointed by that. And then I was also disappointed by how little there was so few in paleontology. When they redraw an animal based on fossil remains, they call it a reconstruction. Mm-hmm. There aren't a whole lot of reconstructions for the Columbus limestone animals. So I was having to like read papers and look at bones and try and figure out what this living animal looked like. So I think the thing I wish I hadn't learned was, oh God, people really don't do reconstructions for things that aren't dinosaurs.
Yeah, I could see where that would have been a pain in the neck.
Yeah, so those were the two things. I didn't get to draw my favorite fish, which I really wanted to draw. And yeah, I wish I hadn't learned that there's not a lot of data for drawing other things.
Well, I think that in my research, you've stated that you're kind of new to the scene here in Columbus. So far, how's the experience been?
I love it. Everyone has been so welcoming in Columbus and in the Midwest in general. Everyone has been so like kind and welcoming and really wants to help me as a young creative succeed, which I really appreciate, and I hope I can pass forward when I become old guard eventually, hopefully.
How has the experience been working with C3?
Awesome. Sydney is such a powerhouse, and our whole editorial team are such powerhouses. They're kind, they're supportive, but they're also incredibly organized. Like they get things done, which is great. It's super appreciative to be a part of a group like this.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. You know, working as kind of, I don't know, I'm the adjunct AV guy, so to speak, for lack of a better term. I got to say that the organization is top notch for sure in terms of when things are being done, when things are being released, et cetera, et cetera. So, definitely. I agree with your statement.
And I appreciate the organization. I love that.
Well, since we're talking about C3, let's real quickly give me a moment before we continue talking, Ari, about yourself and some of your projects that you got going on and whatnot. I need to let some folks know about Crowdfunder, because Crowdfunder is how we're making things happen, folks. Look, if you were old school and you were like, I was here last year, John, when we did the same thing. Yeah, it's pretty much the same. It is. Okay. It's where tiers are going to be posted in the Crowdfunder, where if we can reach those certain tiers, page counts are going to be given back to the artists. So for an example, if we get $2,000 in donations, that means everybody's getting $25 back. And Ari, I'm sure you could agree with me. Sometimes when you want to be very creative, sometimes it's very expensive. Am I right?
Yes, it's extremely expensive. You can help pay for my access to JSTOR so I can look up more things about more fossil fishes and draw them for you.
There you go. I mean, what more do you need? That right there should be worth you saying, I'm going to donate a couple of bucks and help out C3, because again, it's staying all here in Central Ohio. All right. And it's going to be given back to all these talented artists. And there's other tiers. I mean, we could talk about them. There's the $16.75 tier where everybody gets $20 per page, $13.50, you get $15 per page, $1,050, you get 10%. But, you know, I'm just going to be that guy. I'm going to say we need to hit that $2,000 mark. There's no reason why we can't do it. Columbus, Ohio, you owe it to all of these fine folks. And you owe it to yourself, because you're getting one heck of an anthology.
Everyone has worked super hard on this, and it's a lot of different topics, educational topics. So it'll be super fun. And a lot of them are written by people who like educate for a living. So that's also really cool.
There you go, folks. So what are you doing? As soon as you're done watching this live stream, or as soon as you're done hearing this podcast, go over to all the social medias for C3. They'll have all the information about how you can donate, how you can get your hands on the anthology and whatnot. And you're doing a great thing. So if you need some good karma, there's another reason why you should donate. All right, let's talk a little bit, Ari, about you. I assume that much like many other creators, you were a creative kid growing up?
Yeah, I actually started in the written world world. I wasn't super an artist. I wrote stories for a very long time, and actually went on to get a degree in creative writing and literature.
So when did you start dabbling a little bit in the art scene?
Well, I fell in love. I've always been in love with comics, but I always, in high school, I had a really hard art class, and I completely lost faith in my ability to draw. And then one day I just decided that, well, I'm not going to let the fact that I can't do a thing stop me from pursuing my dream. So then I taught myself to draw. And then I taught myself to draw sophomore year of college, and just kept practicing every day. And now I think I'm semi-okay with that. I really like the trilobites in the comic. You guys should all look at the trilobites. They're the best.
So I gotta commend you. That is to practice every single day. And I hear that a lot from creators. They're like, look, you gotta practice every day to keep those skills sharpened, to refine those skills, to even strengthen those skills. So I gotta commend you for that, because that takes a lot of effort. That I don't know if I would have that effort, if I would have that ability to put in the work every single day. So that's awesome.
Well, it helps when you're kind of not paying attention to your college classes.
Oh. Shh, we won't say anything. Shh.
No, stay in school, kids. Don't do what I did.
All right. Why is it that you really enjoy drawing animals and monsters?
Oh yeah, that is 100% on my Tumblr page. I love animals, have loved animals ever since I was a small child, and that's part of why I got an ecology and evolutionary biology degree. I just think there are so many different animals on Earth that you never run out of something new and unique to draw. And I really love drawing monsters, because if I get sick of drawing animals, I can just take all the animal parts and do whatever I want with them.
Good answer there.
And I can make them spooky. I can make them spooky or sad and lonely. A lot of my monsters aren't actually scary. They're just kind of sad, or they're hungry. One of the two. It's either sad or hungry.
Piggybacking off of the idea of your love of animals, you said you grew up with a lot of animals. What were some of the animals that surrounded you?
I grew up rural, so I was just kind of like, I always had dogs, love dogs. I've had a tortoise since I was 14, and I still have them because they live a long time. And if you hear banging that could not be edited out of the recording on my end, my tortoise, who was sleeping all day, unfortunately woke up and decided that now the time when I needed a quiet room, that he was going to bang around his tank. But I grew up with bugs. I grew up with coyotes in the backyard and foxes. So just kind of like everything, and then more on the TV.
Okay. What do you mean by that? Just more seeing more animals?
Animal Planet. All I did was watch Animal Planet as a child.
Okay. So I was thinking of, like, you know, more along the lines of how sitcoms would have the family dog or whatnot, but it's Animal Planet or bust.
All I did was watch Animal Planet until I was like 12, when I got introduced to Cartoon Network.
Okay. So then it was kind of a balancing act between the two?
Yeah.
What is one of the animals that you've never come across that you would literally give your right arm to maybe meet and see one of these animals?
That's really, that's hard, because, oh no, it's not. Pangolin. I would love to see me a real life pangolin.
Okay, you're gonna have to school me. I'm not sure I know what that animal is.
They're little, and they're hunted, and they're the most trafficked mammal in the world, which is sad. But they're covered with scales, so they look like a moving pine cone. And they have a very long tongue, and they eat primarily ants and termites, and the babies ride on their back. And we don't really know what they're most closely related. We know they're a mammal, but we don't know what they're most closely related to. And they look very, very polite. And I've never met any. I think there's 7 to 8 species, and I've never seen any of them in captivity, because they're super rare outside of Africa and Asia. And we live in America. So I haven't actually gotten to see a pangolin in real life, and I would love to see a pangolin in real life.
Can I ask, why are they trafficked?
They're considered a delicacy. They're considered a delicacy in some parts of Southeast Asia, and their scales are used in traditional Chinese medicine.
Okay. I mean, the medicine makes sense, but you eat them? People eat them? Mm-hmm.
Scoop out all the belly meat and then you eat that.
Oh. I'm gonna
like the tradition. Oh, sorry. I don't have to go into the traditional preparation process.
I'm just saying that, look, I know I'm being a first world problem type of guy, but that doesn't appeal to me. That sounds kind of icky.
Apparently, it's a very, very soft flavor like pork, because the pangolin should stay in the wild and they're endangered. People, please, let's wait for them to be less endangered before we start eating them.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. In fact, don't even eat them ever. Just have them around, okay? Don't ever eat them. So
I would love to see a pangolin.
Okay. All right. Your Tumblr. It is called Bubblegum Punk. Is there a story behind the name?
It was a webcomic that I think about launching all the time and then never do. That's like kind of the header I've got. There's not really a whole story behind it. Besides, I think about launching this webcomic all the time and never do. And maybe I will eventually.
Okay. Do you have a brief little synopsis of what the webcomic will be about or is about?
It's about a bassist who was kind of on top of the world. Like, their band was getting signed, and then their band ends up in a really traumatic car accident and kills their best friend. And it's about them finding a new band of two young idealistic teenagers and trying to rebuild from the wreckage of grief and all of the things that happen when someone dies suddenly and traumatically, especially in your creative career too.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me a lot of the Metallica story, to be honest with you, with Cliff Burton being killed and having to replace him.
Oh, wow. I didn't know much about Metallica's history.
Yeah, they did. It's something very similar to that they had a bassist that was killed in a bus accident, and he was the one that was killed. The other three members made it out pretty much unscathed, except for a few bumps and bruises, and then they found Kurt Hammett. And kind of, they talk about in the documentary that I saw how subconsciously they were all still very angry at what happened, and they took it out on Kirk. So it was there was this little whole part of the documentary where it was like, why am I sticking around when these guys treat me like crap, you know? But it was the way of them trying to work through their grief. And it was really interesting. I will give it credit there. That's the first thing that clicked in my head when you mentioned the plot of your webcomic.
Yeah.
Speaking of creating things such as webcomics, who or what are your inspirations?
That's a really good question. I think the most exciting team working right now for me personally is Sana Takeda and Marjorie Liu, who are the creators behind Monstrous and the She Eats the Night trilogy. The way that they write and draw together, I've never seen a team more in sync than that, and more interested in the subjects that I'm interested in, which are largely how do we still be good people in the face of horrible circumstances, and what is a quote unquote good person.
Who are the artists again? And the writer?
Marjorie Liu and Sana Takeda.
Okay. Okay. Huh.
And I think that's one of the most important teams right now. And then the work of Kazu Kibushi, who wrote the Amulet series, but I think has been even more influential with his work on the anthology Flight, which has launched a bunch of really good creatives into public light since the early 2000s.
Okay, cool. You have any new projects coming soon?
I've got two kids lit graphic novel pitches that I'm working on right now, and they'll be live in October, and I'm very excited for that.
Okay, cool. So you said two children's lit?
It's called Kids Lit Graphic Novel, and one's going to be a YA pitch and one's going to be middle grade.
Okay, cool. How did you come about to start piecing together those tales? Or was it just, you know, something that you were doing maybe while you were sitting in class or whatnot?
Well, it's really embarrassing, but one of them was inspired by a Tumblr post.
Oh, okay.
That said, it's rude not to blink hello to the big night cat. And then I'm like, night cat. And then I made a cat god. And then I made a child of a cat god who'd never met her. And then I'm like, oh, there's tension there. That's fun.
You know what?
And then I made a world around that.
And I got to say, I think that I saw that cat god on your Tumblr. That was a really unique piece of art.
Oh, yeah. That's really early concept art from 3 years ago, back when I started working on this and thought it was going to be a 7-page zine. And now it's 200 pages. So,
okay. 200 pages is a lot.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's exactly 200, but it's over 150. So it's somewhere in there.
Well, let's talk here real quick, a couple of other quick items here, Ari, and then we'll start plugging the crowdfunder one more time. Do you have any appearances upcoming? I know we're getting close to the end of the year. There's not a lot of conventions or public appearances for folks or whatnot, you know, whether they're at a bookshop or a comic shop or whatnot. But do you have any coming up?
Nope, just if people find me around town.
Okay. You want to plug your social medias?
Yeah, I am acoaster_comics on Tumblr, and I'm coming out with a website soon, so stay tuned.
Okay. So creating websites, that's a daunting task sometimes.
I do not like it.
Have you done it before?
No, but I'm super unprepared. I'm just like, artists need websites, so you have to make one.
Well, with that, it's time one more time before we get on out of here to talk about the crowdfunder. As I mentioned before, it is a great opportunity to help out these great artists who are independent. They don't have a multi-million dollar corporation backing them, at least as far as I know. I don't know. Okay, Ari doesn't have a billion dollar.
I don't have a $1 million corporation. The tortoise might, but if he is, he's not telling me.
Well, how dare him?
He doesn't even pay rent.
I say the same thing to my cat, Lady. I'm like, you know, you shouldn't just give me those dirty looks all the time. I give you a place to live. I give you a place to eat, a place to hang out. You run the whole show here. So sometimes people, you know, sometimes pets are, they're extra. That's what I'll say. But nonetheless, again, let's get $2,000 in here so everybody can get $25 on their page rate. I mean, again, it's a great opportunity to get into indie comics. If you're maybe like, I've never tried out an indie comic, grab this anthology. As Ari said, there's a variety of different art styles. There is a variety of different subject material. And again, I've learned so much, including that Ohio was underwater for a long time. I learned that as I sat down and spoke with Ari. So you can learn a ton of stuff too.
And the art's pretty. You can look at it. You can enjoy the pretty art.
That's right.
Think of, I know one comic has a bunch of really cool bears. And also, once again, plug in the trilobites. Hey, love the trilobites.
There you go. What more do you need, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, other than maybe someone from the C3 staff coming over and pushing you over to your desk and making you punch in the URL code and getting one hand, you know, strong arming you. We don't want to do that. That's not nice. That's not polite. We don't want to do that. We want you to just of your own volition plunk down some cash to help out these fine folks. Again, keeping the funds here in Central Ohio. And I'm starting to ramble, so we're going to start wrapping things up here. So, Ari, anything you want to say to anybody watching the feed here or listening online?
Just to have a lovely night, read more comics, and enjoy the nice weather.
There you go. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will be back with more interviews from the fine folks at C3. I'm going to interrupt my conversation just for one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. If you're in Central Ohio, you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also follow them online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me this evening is another talented individual that is part of C3's Hidden Histories, of course, the new anthology that we're going to talk all about. But if you will, please give a nice warm welcome to Emily M. Cook. Emily, how are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty well.
Oh, that's good. Excellent. Now, you are based in Ohio, correct?
Yes, in Columbus.
In Columbus. Are you a native of Columbus or are you a transplant?
I moved here when I was 5.
So I'll count that as a transplant, so to speak. Well, let's talk a little bit about the entry that you have for Hidden Histories. Could you tell us what the title is of the piece?
Yes, it's Prehistoric Native Peoples of Ohio.
Okay. And can you give us a little bit of a summary of what the tale is all about?
Yeah, so it's an educational comic about the prehistoric native peoples that lived in, you know, the land that we call Ohio. It's about like the different periods and cultures of like Native Americans from like first coming to North America from like 16,000 to 30,000 years ago. Yeah, people have been on the continent for like thousands of years. And up through like the Hopewell and Adena and mound building cultures.
I did not know that many. I knew it was a large number, but my goodness, I did not know it was that big.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to do a lot of research to get all the correct information in the right spots, so to speak?
Yes, I did hours of research, reading books, watching videos.
Did you rely on any experts, you know, anybody that maybe was a history buff or had a little bit of knowledge?
I mean, not like in person, but in fifth grade was when like I first learned about prehistoric peoples of Ohio. And I found the like papers about it that I had saved.
Okay.
That was probably like 15 years ago.
Well, that's pretty interesting. You found your old... See, my mom kept all my elementary school like report cards and everything. I don't know why. Like we threw them out eventually. I was like, I'm 18 years old. I don't need these. but you clearly had a notion that you might use that stuff and held on to it. That's pretty killer.
Mm-hmm.
With this... topic, you obviously have been interested in it, as you said, for a very long time. If you couldn't have done this project or this topic, was there another one that you had in mind?
Yeah, my other option was doing libraries around Columbus and Worthington because we have some like really cool libraries.
We do. I gotta say that I think that that's one thing that people take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, living in Columbus, we have a great, great library system. So how long have you been affiliated with C3?
So almost a year.
Okay.
I joined when I saw them tabling at Cartoon Crossroads Columbus. And they just invited me to join the Discord. And I'm like, okay, sure.
That's how they get you. With the Discord.
Yes.
So how's the experience been?
It has been great. There's a lot of like really great people in the group. I've like learned a lot from them and gotten like, you know, constructive feedback on my art and stuff. Sorry, my dog is like in the background, if you can hear that.
No, that's fine. Not a problem. Like I said, I got a cat here that's wandering in and out of this room. So who knows? She may join the podcast too. Who knows? She likes to jump up here and be the star. So we'll see. So no problems whatsoever.
Yeah. And with C3, I've also tabled for the first time, which was really cool.
Where did you table?
At Space.
Okay.
What is it? Sequential something something Comics Expo.
Oh, the Small Press of Alternative Comics Expo.
Yes.
You know what? That's a great convention. I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's a great convention that everybody in the Central Ohio should go see it. I'm just gonna throw a cheap plug.
Definitely. And then I also tabled at like Franklinton Friday, which it's kind of like a little like art market in Franklinton that I think is like once a month. That was pretty cool.
So that gave you the opportunity to kind of get your feet wet, so to speak, in the world of tabling and conventions, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay. So any other benefits to being a part of C3?
I think just being like in a community of like-minded artists, having people that you can like talk to and share your art with and like get feedback on. You can give feedback to their art. It's just a really good community.
So it's safe to say that if the opportunity presented itself, you'd work again with the fine folks from C3?
Definitely.
I kind of figured that was going to be, that's the popular answer. So I kind of figured that would be it. All right. Well, let's talk here a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind. What is your background in art? Did you start off as a kid just doodling and then, you know, went to elementary school and excelled in art and all worked your way all the way up? Or do you have a different journey into the world of art?
Yeah, I mean, I've basically been drawing since I could hold a pencil. I have been very fortunate that I've had a very good art education. I had really cool art classes in like elementary school, not in middle or high school. Columbus and Worthington have a really good just like art culture, and there's a lot of places you can go to do art. So in high school, I went to the Columbus Museum of Art, and they have an open art studio for teens. So I'd go there, like, I'd have my mom drive me half an hour every week to go there and just play with all their art supplies. And then in college, I took, like, professional art classes, like drawing and painting and printmaking. And that was really cool.
So going back real quick to the Columbus Museum of Art real quick. You said you got a chance to just sample everything that they had available there. Did you make any particular art that you can recall that you say, yeah, this is like the highlight of that trip?
Yeah, one time I was doing a Halloween costume. I wanted to be a deer. And I made antlers out of paper mache, but it was like this weird like shredded up paper that you kind of just like stuck together like clay, but it ended up being really heavy because apparently paper is really heavy, so it would not stay on my head. but I do still have the antlers.
Oh, they've survived. Okay,
yes, then that's survived.
Emily, that's some quality workmanship right there, if I may say so. If they're still together in one piece. If I made them, heck, they probably would have fallen apart within an hour of me getting it home. So tip of the hat to you.
Thank you.
With that, you started creating your own art, and you know, I've taken a look at your Instagram, and you have a lot of samples of artwork on your Instagram. How would you maybe describe your art style?
Sure. I try to, it's kind of like cartoony realism. Like, I like to use like realistic proportions and like stick close to like anatomy and stuff. But I wouldn't say it's like realistic. It's very like, I'd say there's like soft features, very like smooth lines I try. And maybe a little cutesy.
You do work a lot with color. Do you ever dabble in just black and white for different tones with a project?
Not really, honestly.
Okay. And I assume that you get a lot of inspiration from just daily life. Or is there another source for your inspiration for your art?
I get inspiration mostly from like media and artists I like. Like, you know, like I'm on like Instagram a lot, and whenever I see a piece of art I like, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna save that. Or like the same thing on like Pinterest, like, oh, I'm saving this in a folder for art inspiration for later.
Okay. Do you did you have any recent projects that has gotten some notoriety or some feedback from your fans?
I don't know if I'd say I have many fans, but
well, hey, brag a little bit. You deserve it. You know, you got, I'm sure, a couple of fans out there that follow you.
That is true. I have a few people who follow me, trying to get that number to be bigger.
Aren't we all? Anyways.
I think like fan art gets the most views. So, like, I did, like, a while ago, an Animal Crossing character. And I think that got me the most views.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the same here, different media, but the same deal when it comes to podcasting is trying to get those listeners and trying to get them to stick around and stay for a whole episode. It's daunting sometimes. It's super frustrating as well. So I just think that, you know, creators have to kind of roll with the punches. I don't know if you agree with that statement or not.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So do you have any projects that are coming up?
Yeah, I am constantly working on different personal creative projects. Like right now I'm working on like a Halloween costume and different arts and crafts. But as for like a professional project, I really enjoyed, you know, working on the comic for the anthology. But there was so much information that I was not able to put in because like I only got like 7 pages, whereas I have like 50 pages worth of information.
Mm.
So my new dream is to create a whole graphic novel with like all the information I've learned and not just do like prehistory, but up to like current history.
Oh, okay. So a long tail, so to speak, of this topic.
Yes. It's okay. Just such a rich history, and I just want to delve deep into it. So yeah, so that's my next big project I'm planning on working on.
Okay. And that's an awesome idea. And I also too must commend everybody in the anthology Hidden Histories, because I think that by presenting your particular topic in a different style, like an art style, like a graphic novel, like a comic book, that it pulls maybe some people that wouldn't be like, oh, I don't want to learn about the early Native Americans in Ohio, but they see the art and they're like, oh, you know, maybe I'll give it a pull or I'll give it a try, you know, and see what this is all about.
Yes, that is my hope.
Okay. So what do you like to do when you're not creating art?
I like watching TV and playing video games and playing with my pets. My day job is I work at a childcare center with elementary school students. So I enjoy that for the most part. It's very fulfilling, but also very frustrating and difficult at times. But I really enjoy working with kids.
So, if you don't mind me asking, you said that you would like to watch TV. Favorite TV shows? Do you have a few?
Yeah, I love Steven Universe. I mostly just watch cartoons, honestly. I like this show called Northern Exposure, which also features Native American culture. And, oh, the same is true for, what's it called? Longmire.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I
remember Northern Exposure. I remember that as a kid. It was, as a kid, it didn't interest me because I needed car crashes and explosions and stuff like that. I was guilty of that. So, but going back, you know, watching a few episodes here and there years ago, it was a pretty solid show.
Yeah.
And in fact, they just had somebody pass away, a Native American actor who was on that show. What was his name? I can't remember. He just died recently, but he was on that show. He was a character actor that was on a bunch of them. Yeah, Graham Greene.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. If you could give advice to somebody that says, hey, Emily, I want to start in this business here. I want to start making my own comics. I want to start being creative. What advice would you give them?
I'd say find other artist friends. I think the best thing that's helped me grow is just, you know, being in a community with other artists. And like, I have a lot of friends who are also artists, and just sharing work with each other and also like pumping each other up, supporting each other, and also shouting out different like opportunities that we see. Like, oh, hey, this thing, like this organization has an open call, or, you know, this person is looking for like commissions. So yeah, just having someone else that you can like share the artistic process with.
If we were playing Family Feud, that was the number one answer that everyone has given. Is the,
really?
The sense of, yeah, the sense of community is what has really brought people to C3 and keeps people at C3. Because yeah, as just as you said, you know, it gives you that sounding board. You know, how is my stuff? How is your stuff? I'm having trouble here. I'm having trouble there. How do we fix this? So yeah, I mean, you are, geez, the fourth person I think or so to say that. So I mean, it must be a good thing it is a good thing, but it must be, the word must be getting out there is what I'm trying to say about C3. If folks are joining and staying and whatnot. So I think that's an awesome piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. It's also great to have other people be like, yeah, your art looks awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So do you have any other future plans, for any other appearances or anything along those lines?
Okay. So I do like a lot of different kinds of art other than illustration and comics. One of the things I do is I make glitter bottle charms. So they're okay. Like little charms about like an inch tall, and they're filled with baby oil and glitter. And it's been a self-taught process with a lot of trial and error. And I've been thinking about selling them on like an online shop, because when I have tabled with C3, I actually sold some of them, and it was like so awesome. So if I could like have actually a little business of that, that'd be really cool.
Okay. I do have one other question real quick. And I just happen to be, again, I do my research. I'm very thorough. Are you still cross stitching?
Yes.
Okay. How's it going?
It's so fun. I love it so much. I do it like every day.
Well, I saw that my mother crocheted for years until she's got some bad hands, just, you know, mm-hmm. just arthritis has gotten in there, and it makes it difficult sometimes for her to do things. So, but she loved crocheting. She would crochet while watching TV. And so when I saw that you cross stitched, I was like, do you do it the same? Like my mom, do you do it while you're watching TV or while you're listening to podcasts or stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Cool stuff. All right. Well, Emily, before we go here, I have to let everybody know what we're doing here. And what are we doing? We are raising some funds with the crowdfunder campaign for C3's Hidden Histories. Folks, I've said it all so many times in doing all of these live streams and these podcasts, I've said that, look, there's no reason why we cannot reach $2,000. There's no reason why we can't do that, so that everybody, people like Emily, like Shandu, like Jeremy, like all the fine folks that are in this anthology, there's no reason why they cannot get $25 a page rate, because we've earned, we've collected, we've had donations equaling $2,000. Columbus, I'm challenging you. Step it up. Find out where you can get your hands on the book, and you could do that throughout all the social media of C3. There'll be, I believe, URL codes and whatnot that you can get your hands on this anthology. There's so many talented people like Emily who are in the anthology. Look, I mean, I don't want to downplay it, but let's just say for argument's sake, if we don't reach 2,000, what happens if we get 1625, or excuse me, 1675? Well, that's okay. People still going to get a page rate of $20. If we only manage to get $1,350, then folks will get a page rate of $15. And if we get $1,050, then everybody gets a $10 page rate. And folks, that's unheard of. That's unheard of in indie comics, right, Emily? Have you thought, did you think a few years ago that there's got to be a company out there, a company of folks out there that are willing to help out struggling artists with page rates?
I hoped.
You hope. See? Well, your hope is now a reality, because folks, again, as I said, 2,000, that there's no excuse for us not reaching that benchmark, so that everybody can get what they deserve. And look, it's keeping it in Central Ohio. You know, it's not going to New Jersey. It's not going to Michigan. It's not going to Hawaii. The money is staying right here in the Central Ohio area, so that folks can get supplies, folks can get tabling fees taken care of. That's what this is all going to. So there's no other reason to even suspect that there's something shady going on, because there's not. It's all legitimate. We're all raising money, and I'm starting to ramble, so I'm going to start wrapping things up here.
Yes, help me and my friends get paid, so we can
there you go
making cool art.
There you go. Thank you, Emily, for bailing me out. I was spiraling in that ramble, but seriously, folks, definitely check it out. It's worth you taking a few moments out of your time to at least check it out, and please donate if you can. And Emily, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me this evening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break, and then on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my discussion with Ari and Emily about their entries for this year's Hidden Histories Anthology, brought to you by C3. And so maybe you have a question about the anthology, or maybe you have a question about another episode of the PVD cast. Let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. First of all, you could shoot me an email if you want to be old school. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. You can also drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just search for @PVDcast. And I'm even still on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and the best place to get all of the recent episodes. The show is also available through all of those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting outlet or app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. I need you to do me a favor, though. If you're listening through one of those apps or one of those outlets, I need you to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me on the algorithm, and it lets those companies know that you're listening to the PVDcast. And you know what? While you're at it, why don't you just subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast? And lastly, the show is available every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. Once again, that's at PVDcast, where I run a little live broadcast of the show. So there you go. Three easy ways to hear the show: through PVDcast.com, through your favorite outlet or app, and through the Facebook page, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you all for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.